martial arts, its history, its culture, its entertainment, its identity. It's so many things, and it stretches across every civilization on this planet. Above all, it's ancient. You can find it on cave wall paintings. I think in Spain is what I read on a Wikipedia article. It's crazy how far back this stuff stretches. And as I dove deeper and deeper into the topic of martial arts and why people want to put it into their stories, how do you put it into your story? I just got more and more excited for this episode and what we're going to talk about. Guys, we are the Creator's Playbook, and we're a podcast that inspires creativity for storytelling, or, you know, just gives you some entertainment about, you know, just a couple of goofballs that like to pretend they know how to tell stories, I guess. That's what we're here for.
We do.
I'm Robbie.
I'm Steven.
And that's our topic today. We're going to get into martial arts. So before I roll into it, the inspiration for today's episode is the movie coming out this weekend. Forgive me if I murder this. It's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which is a story about mythical ancient weapons, it looks like. Yeah, I saw that. I mean, and I thought, man,
obviously
cool to talk about.
It's part of the MCU. So we're introducing new characters into the MCU and, you know, another facet to the universe that they're building over there. So it's always exciting to see when they're bringing a new IP. And obviously, you know, these all come from comic books. So I can't wait to see how they portray this part of the story and how it ties into everything else.
I'm really excited to talk about, you know, why this is a story that keeps getting told again and again and again, something involving martial arts and the disciplines behind that. As we go through this episode, I encourage you guys to look at the themes we target and see how those themes are present in the movie before you guys go see it, because you'll see some themes, and then we'll also make some recommendations like go watch this TV show, go watch this movie, because you'll see these themes reoccur, and it's pretty cool. So Steven, I want to talk a little bit about martial arts, but before I get into it, tell me really quick, for you, what are reasons that people put martial arts into their stories? Why would someone want to do it?
So I think martial arts is a really cool way to show character development, in that usually when there's a character going into the story, it's, you know, apprentice turned to master. It's the long process of starting at the beginning as a nobody and becoming who you are, becoming your own role and your own position, becoming the master, right? And I think that that's what makes these kind of stories so much fun. It's the underdog tale. A lot of times, it doesn't have to be, but a lot of times it is that tale of learning and growing. And you can see that in their ability to fight or fight back, or their level of discipline. How well are they listening? How well are they adapting what they're learning? And you can just see the way that their character grows. And it's just fun. You want to root for them.
You also see how it's such a powerful way to take that struggle of the character, a character that's trying to better themselves in some way, and manifest it in a very visual way to our audience. It becomes tangible. And so what I love about it is that you can tell a story of character development through a fight scene. How powerful is that? You see it again and again at the climax of a story, a character triumphs over a personal weakness, like let's say humility, or, you know, shyness, timid, whatever it is, they overcome that. And that manifests itself inside of the fight. And it's powerful and it's exciting. And there's sometimes very iconic moments in movie history when it happens.
And you get to see that very visible click moment. You know, a lot of times the character is being defeated and they're being pushed back. And then suddenly they figure out how to triumph over their foe and turn the tide. That turning the tide moment is always so much fun to watch. And I was just barely thinking, you know, martial arts, especially martial arts competition movies or shows, whatever have you, they're a lot like sports movies, like those inspirational sports movies. But instead of it being a whole team of characters coming together and learning to work together, it's a single person. So you get to follow a lead person who's learning and growing, as opposed to a whole team of people who are learning and growing together.
I think it kind of goes back just what you were saying before about like the underdog. You know, mm-hmm. I was listening to this podcast called The Martial Arts Studies Podcast. It's hosted by Professor Paul Bowman. And he was interviewing someone by the name of Dr. Martin Meyer. And one of the things that they had covered was motivation in terms of like, why do people get into martial arts personally? And one of the things he brought up that I thought was interesting is the movies. People watch the movies and they see these heroes so iconic in martial arts films, such as Jackie Chan. Bruce Lee was a really big one. And that was the one they used in their example.
Arguably, I think the biggest one, right?
I think
at least one of the most famous. Yeah.
He had such a powerful impact on martial arts here in the United States and across the world. And I think why that is because it's someone, well, like you said, it's the underdog. People love to see somebody overcome big challenges. Mm-hmm. And that's what these people do. I mean, in more contemporary martial arts films, it's literally one guy taking on an army, doing crazy wild stuff, punching so hard that they fly into the ceiling and they keep kicking them so they stay there. And it's impossible. There's no physics.
It's like
behind
a game
that.
Of Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly. It's like, hey, let's keep them up. We're going to play keep up, guys. And it's so amazing to see that on film. And we want to feel that triumph. We want to be that way. And I think people, and I kind of agree with what they said in this podcast, people want to participate in that by going and doing the martial arts themselves. It's very tangible and it's very reachable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my colleagues right now, she actually is a Muay Thai fighter. And we actually just barely had this conversation of like, why do you do this? And one thing that she was alluding to is that as a Muay Thai fighter, she gets to challenge herself. It's not so much about her opponent, but her ability to triumph over her own limit, over her own level, and analyze and study better and more. And it's just really cool to see how passionate she is about the fight. And she takes it very seriously. It's what she does every single day she's at the gym. And it's just so much fun. Like, we cheer her on when she's going to go to one of her fights.
And, that's amazing.
But yeah, it's overcoming herself and becoming better in herself. And it's something that's very measurable in that ability to become better.
Well, and you see in, you know, the research that they were talking about in this podcast, people go and do martial arts for all kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's helping them to get outside more, like just going outside and not being a homebody. Other times it's to overcome fears, such as social anxiety can be a reason. Like, they feel like if they get into martial arts, they can find the strength they need to overcome these weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so you find in many cases that the number of reasons to do it are almost limitless. You can pick a weakness and martial arts may even help you overcome that in some way.
And there's a level of discipline and there's a level of meditation that's involved and literally understanding your internal place. Your state of mind is critical to the art of martial arts.
You can see why that would be so powerful in terms of telling a story.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's almost what the story ends up being in a martial arts is state of mind.
State of mind. You know, the presence, the control, the self-discipline. Mm-hmm. It's powerful, it's palpable, and it's exciting, and it's fun, and you get a cool fight out of it. So kind of diving into like the actual definition of martial arts, kind of cool. The etymology, I pulled this just straight off of Wikipedia. Martial arts... probably a lot more people knew this than I did, but martial derives from the Roman god Mars, meaning god of war. Yeah.
I did not know that, I'll be honest.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I learned that and I was like, the heck? How did I not know this? It's so obvious. So it is European in origins.
The term,
right. Mm-hmm. And martial arts is everywhere in the world. It's, like I said, it's ancient. You can find it in Europe. You can find it in Asia, all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So it is not strictly one region.
All the different forms, of course.
Exactly.
Because there's many different forms of the martial arts.
Exactly. And it's highly celebrated. There's, I know at the very least, 6 different martial arts that are celebrated and practiced in the Olympics. You know, you got karate and all, I think Taekwondo might be one as well, and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of, incredible accolades are given out for becoming masters and achieving these things. Anyway, I kind of liked how Wikipedia defined it. So I thought I'd just read this. You okay if I just quote this really quick?
Yeah, please.
So Wikipedia defines martial arts like this. Martial arts are codified systems and traditions of combat. Practice for a number of reasons, such as, and I'm just adding this in there, the part that I love, because it shows you the variety and power of martial arts, not only in someone's life, but how you can use it in a storytelling perspective. So it says self-defense, military and law enforcement applications, competition, physical, mental, and spiritual development, entertainment, and the preservation of a nature's intangible cultural heritage. That last one slapped me pretty hard. I was like, true that is. No different than dancing. Dancing does the exact same thing, but martial arts, and that's where the line between dancing and martial arts kind of start to give each other, they start to hold hands and people start looking over and wondering, martial arts and dancing, what are they doing over there? Are those two together? I mean, they're pretty close. They've been holding hands for a long time. And they really are quite close. I mean, obviously, the big difference is one is purely performative, while the other one is designed in terms of combat. It's meant to be used to fight and or defend yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So it's powerful in that sense.
No, I love that.
It's so cool. Anyway, martial arts is also used in all kinds of mediums. Like I said, video games, movies, books, whatever you want, TV shows. Steven, do you have any that you're big fans of, like ones that stand out to you?
Yes, I do. My most favorite entertainment that involves martial arts is Avatar: The Last Airbender. And I think the reason why I love it so much is that when they were designing each of the bending styles in Avatar: The Last Airbender, they took very particular note on the martial arts styles that they tied to every single one of the elements and the cultures and the traditions that they built into each one. Very methodical all the way through the development of that show. And it's just beautiful. So beautiful to watch. I need to restart it. I'm going to go back in and just start the show over again. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen that show start to finish. And I feel like it's time. It's that time of the year has come to restart Avatar.
Honestly, hopefully I don't offend anyone here, but I put it on par in terms of like world creation. I would put it on par of the likes of like Star Wars, Star Trek. It is so unique.
Yeah.
And it's such a part of like me in terms of becoming a storyteller. Mm-hmm. It had such powerful influences on me. And in that story, you see that theme that we were talking about, how as Aang masters a different element, he's overcoming a different personal weakness that he's trying to overcome. And again, you see the storytelling opportunities there in terms of character development.
It's absolutely beautiful. You can see when the characters become unhinged. You can see when the characters are not confident. And you can see when the characters have absolute confidence and how it affects everything that they do. Anticipation. Deception. Like it's all in their fighting styles. And they developed the whole system because they couldn't have a show with hand-to-hand combat. Nickelodeon directly said, no, hand-to-hand combat is not allowed. And so they had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, how can we do a fighting show that literally has characters that don't touch each other? And that's how the fighting styles and the elemental bendings came to be, because they literally do not touch each other once in that entire series.
I just love the delicious irony of like, okay, guys, no handsies, no touching or punching, no but touching. Throwing boulders and lighting on fire and drowning, totally okay.
And literally shocking totally somebody with lightning.
It's so true. They ended up creating possibly one of the most violent shows, done in a comedic sense. Like, it's
but
totally
it's
appropriate.
Beautiful violence.
And it's beautiful and it's appropriate for kids. And no matter what they say, there are things that there are people that get hit with rocks. They're definitely dead. They're not alive after that.
There's brainwashing. But, there's starvation. There's like,
it's crazy. Dude, a guy's head.
And the character development. Oh,
incredible.
So good.
Incredible. And it all comes to a head at the end of the series. So like martial arts, you can use it to tell the story about your character, to teach us mm-hmm. about your character.
Do you want to know one of my other favorite movies that involves martial arts? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Batman. The when they relaunched Batman with Batman Begins, when they started that trilogy with Christian Bale, you know, it was literally centered on the study and learning of martial arts and how that completely affected everything in his name is Bruce. What? Wayne. In Bruce Wayne's life and how he re-perceived the world through martial arts.
What I loved about the scene in that movie is Batman eventually has to overcome what is the essence of his character, because Batman was so afraid because of all the things that happened to his parents that now all he wanted to do was inspire fear in criminals, the people who essentially took away his world. And it was in a way, it was like his vengeance, you know, and his justice against criminals.
Fear became his power.
It became his power. And just a little snapshot, if you want to look at a great test scene of what we're talking about, go watch the scene of his martial arts training, because in the end, the final step of his martial arts mastery is overcoming his fear of bats. And literally the theme of the entire movie mm-hmm. is about fear. And showing
the entire
him
trilogy is about fear.
Exactly. So
and
it's
hopelessness.
Really,
yeah.
That's a great example. Yeah, I can't recommend Batman enough. Go watch the movies and see how martial arts plays into the storytelling elements of his character development.
I bet you weren't expecting me to say that one, were you?
No, and I'm actually kind of upset that you stole it from me.
Mine.
You dirty scoundrel. Well, so I think we're ready to hop into the prompt. I wanted to bring up Doctor Strange in martial arts. That was one that popped up to me by happenstance. That follows the theme of humility and courage, and how you could use martial arts to cast magical spells, which I thought like
beautiful
oh,
thing.
This
which
is actually kind of
cool. Avatar: The Last Airbender.
A little bit, yeah, it. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the same idea in principle. So
well, and then I'm just going to pull one more out. But like the entire first episode of this podcast was inspired by Dragon Ball Z, and that's complete martial arts to the extreme.
It was that was on my list. It was on my list. I was going to bring
I'm trying
it up.
To just take everything that you had prepared, Robbie.
All of my items. I can't trust you.
We've been doing this long enough that I actually know what you think 24/7.
You just read my mind. Steven's really actually going to, I'm not going to tell him the prompt. He's just going to read it himself via mind.
Without the
reading.
Script, by the way.
Yeah. It's.
It was a prepare. Dark, stormy night.
Many fists were punched. Wait, that doesn't make sense. What is many fists were punched? It was like their form of patty cake in karate. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I can go for that.
Don't indulge me. I see that look. All right, let's just see the prompt. And then after the prompt, we'll actually we'll do a really cool breakdown of how to create a martial arts.
Perfect.
And then we'll get into the storytelling after that.
All right, let's do it.
Shoot, you say that, and the funny part is, okay, it's dark and stormy night, right? Okay, listen to this. The sky crackled a threatening growl under dark sheets of ominous black clouds.
What you're saying is that I was right?
What I'm saying is you were freaking right. That's 3 for 3, Steven. You have the gift. That's crazy. Okay. Whew, we got to do this. This is going long.
Okay.
The sky crackled a threatening growl under dark sheets of ominous black clouds. Wind started to pick up, carrying leaves and dirt up into the air, hitting Liam in the face. As daunting and terrifying as the storm looked through the frame of shuddering trees, the climbing wall to his left terrified him even more. He gazed up at it, the gripping points the size of fingertips. It didn't take just arms to get up that thing. It would take fingernails. Seeing as how he didn't have any arm strength, his chances with fingers seemed even less promising. Before he knew it, something hard and fast smacked him in the shoulder, sending him into a spiral of motion before hitting a wall and bouncing off of it. He gasped, fighting to get air back into his lungs. "Hey, Crinkles," a much, much larger man than Liam said, towering over him. His biceps were the size of tree trunks. "You going to make us late again?" make us do another whole round around the course? Liam hated the pet name Crinkles. One day someone said it, and it just stuck, and he couldn't get away from it. By the time he stood up, he was completely surrounded by men with arms the sizes of his legs. Looks like he would be sleeping in the infirmary again. So, the biggest man said, what do we break first? Oh, I have an idea. A deep, feminine voice called from behind. How about I start with each of your legs, and then we'll go from there. What do you think? One of the men snarled, but then froze as he looked past Liam at the mysterious woman.
I think maybe we should just finish the round, guys. Let's get going.
And without a word, the group left. Liam turned around and found a woman dressed in guard uniform, one of the keepers of the drafted inmates. She was roughly as tall as he was, but for some reason, she seemed much, much taller. Despite her calm demeanor, he felt like speaking first would be out of turn, even disrespectful. She smiled. You read people well, she said slowly, clasping her arms behind her back. Crinkle, isn't it? He sighed, letting just a pinch of annoyance through. Yeah, I guess that's my name. Well, Crinkles, I have a proposition for you. How would you like to stop running laps for strength training and come under my tutelage? I think I might have a place for you amongst my ranks.
Sounds like we're in a school. There's squads. Because obviously, if he's falling behind and they have to train more because of him, is this like an army? Are we in a squad? What are we in?
It is a training camp, and it is intended for the military. You're on point. The one line in there that I said probably a little too fast is that they are drafted inmates. They're all criminals.
Okay.
Yep. Being drafted into the army. So that was the little twist I wanted to put in there.
And did our leader of the drafted inmates, did she have a name?
You know what? She does not. We can make one up for her. She's the Mysterious Woman.
Is that her fighter name?
Mystery. Actually, that's a pretty cool fighter name. I can dig that pretty hard.
The Mysterious Woman.
Yeah, I like it.
That sounds like classic 1950s comic book.
Yeah, or like detective noir or something like that. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Is our Crinkles, is Crinkles going to go with the Mysterious Woman?
His fighter name, Crinkles. The knockoff brand of Pringles.
Can we talk about how he got this name? Because I need to know. Yeah. How he got the name Crinkles. Did somebody put a whole bag of chips in his back pocket and he sat down with a crunch and people called him Crinkles?
I got a feeling it's got to be something darker than that. Like, what if one morning, this is so dark, one morning he woke up in like a body bag, like they thought it'd be a funny joke and it just crinkled a lot? Because maybe it wasn't a body bag. Maybe it was like a food bag or something. These guys are exceptionally cruel to Crinkles. Like, they're just bad people because they're all criminals. Who knows what these people have done? It's too dark.
What if it was a body bag full of chips? Oh. And he's like trying to escape it every time he does. He's like.
And some doofus in the back was like, hey, look, it's Crinkles. He's finally awake.
He's been in there for 7 hours.
Hey, Crinkles, get up, man. You look dead asleep.
How them barbecue chips?
That guy got sent to jail for bad puns. Poor fool.
I mean, I don't think that was a pun. That's probably why he got sent to jail.
He doesn't know how to do puns. Yeah, sorry, man. You're a public nuisance. Like, just go to jail.
Stop trying. Don't even try. Go away.
Yeah, I think it's something dark like that. I think it could be fun. So, yeah.
But it's like a dark humor kind of thing as opposed to being just dark.
I think that would probably be the theme of the story, too. There would be a lot of dark humor in this story.
Okay. But what if also his actual last name is something like Velvet, like Liam Velvet? That's kind of cool. So, that's like, good crinkles is the exact opposite of something that's like velvety soft.
Yeah, good point. I like that. Liam Velvet. Okay. I want to come up with a name for the mysterious woman, but I feel like we should get into the story a little bit more first.
Okay.
Because we got to get into our backstory that I think we could come up with a cool name.
Okay, so tell me, what questions do we have?
All right, here we go. I hope you're ready for this.
Oh, I'm ready.
So the first thing I'm going to do is go through all the questions. Mm-hmm. And then we need to come up with some backstory for Liam to define this important element to his character that will then help us create the martial arts. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we have to figure out with Liam is, what is his weakness? And, you know, inverse of that, or rather in turn to that, what is the strength or quality he is trying to obtain? And so some examples of this could be patience.
I was going to say quick to anger.
Humility.
Probably would be connected somewhere.
Yeah, because he does demonstrate that, doesn't he? He got mm-hmm. annoyed. And this could actually play into whatever crime he committed. Obviously, this is our hero character. So whatever crime mm-hmm. that he committed, I want to keep it either light, forgivable, or maybe he was accused of a crime that he shouldn't have been. Maybe he mm-hmm. was framed. And I know some of those are cliches, but mm-hmm. I don't want to get too hung up on
how he got there. And this is the kind of thing, that probably won't get revealed officially until the end of the story. You know, I'm going to assume that there's a lot of speculation about why he's in there. And there's obviously, like, everybody knows the sentence, but maybe there's a lot of mystery that is behind the actual case or the actual thing that got him behind bars.
Right, like that, and that would make sense, a mystery. But I am all for also it being a redemption arc. Like, he did something and he does mm-hmm. want to be a better person.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting Suicide Squad type vibes from this, you know, criminals turn potential heroes.
Oh yeah, okay, I could see that. Sure, and that movie just came out, so that's good timing. Okay, so what do you think, Steven? Do you want to pick it? What's the quality? Should we do quick to anger? We could do something more abstract or in the same vein of that.
Mm-hmm. I do like quick to anger because I think quick to anger could probably not solve, but it could present to us a lot of character development in the background on how he potentially got there in the first place. But I feel like there's probably something, like, there needs to be an undertone that we discover as we're going of one of his key weaknesses that we can turn into a strength. And maybe judge of character. Maybe, I mean, in the story, the mysterious woman says, like, oh, you read people really well. But what if he doesn't read people really well? What if he just guessed really good?
Well, hey, some people are great readers. In terms, because usually quick to anger is the result of some other kind of weakness. And I think that's the vein you're trying to go down, right? So what
potentially,
if
he's
so good at reading people, and maybe a part of that also gives birth to, he's very good at reading himself and he deals with a lot of self-hate. Maybe he hates himself as a person. He thinks he's worthless. He feels like he has value. Okay.
So like that full on self-loathing, he's the bane of the earth. He shouldn't even be alive.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very much the kind of person that's just like, I deserve to be here and I don't even care because I suck. And he knows it.
I think there's a lot that we can play into with self-deprivation and the lack of value that he has in his own life. That probably is what got him into trouble. It may be something that went wrong, like an experiment gone wrong or something that he was trying to do that went dramatically wrong and ended up hurting other people along the way.
Total and complete accident.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has
to take full responsibility for it.
Right. He did some things. People got hurt without meaning to. And not only would it, you know, he'd feel guilty about that, but it would add to his own self-perception.
Which only makes things worse.
Right.
And now, you know, now his actions are punishing even more people because he's not keeping up with the training.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. I feel like we found it. These are clearly the weaknesses he's dealing with. So now we get to choose what is the strength, the quality that mm-hmm. overcomes the weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, it could be a number of things. Confidence. I was going to say patience originally, but confidence, self-kindness.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, value of his own life and his ability to save other people's lives, I guess.
Interesting. So charity, the quality of service.
What if he becomes the tank of the group?
Oh, fascinating. And wouldn't that be a great twist? So, okay. We got it. Let's say it's, we'll go with the theme of service or sacrifice.
Like a self-sacrifice turn into noble sacrifice turn into, I don't have to sacrifice, I can defend.
Okay. And in that, he finds self-worth. He finds the confidence. And this could play into also, it could be kind of a duality. It's service, but it's also strength, like standing your ground, believing in yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and standing firm. Great. Like I can take the hit because now I believe in myself.
That's great. I love that. Okay. So that is our character development we want to focus on. Beautiful. So now we get to do the really cool part, which is based off of these qualities, we will now start creating a martial arts style. So we can keep it pretty physical. And then I think if we want, we can even throw in some fantasy elements or sci-fi elements going into this. Okay.
Or a superhero. So
here we go. These are the elements that we have to define in terms of martial arts and grow into it.
Okay.
I thought it would be kind of fun if I gave some examples I came across to kind of help get our juices going. Do you mind?
Yeah.
If I share too?
That would be fun. Yeah.
So there were two martial arts. There's this huge list on annexfandom.com, and you can go there and look these up. And it has a massive list of all the different martial arts that have been created in fictions across video games, books. Hmm. And I was just reading through them for some research, and I found two that just, I love them. So I'll do the one that was pretty good, and then I'll tell you my favorite. And this will give us an idea of what we can do.
And these are like fictitious fighting styles?
Yes, they're fictitious. They were created for the purpose of the book, so that the author created these. Or the story, the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this one is from a video game from Monkey Island, if you've seen or played that. Okay,
yep.
And it is called Insult Sword Fighting. Insult Sword Fighting. It's all in the name. Employed in the Monkey Island series, it's a combination of fencing and insulting the opponent as a form of art. So
I kind of wish that it was assaulting and just like throwing salt at your opponent as opposed to words. Gosh.
You could create a whole martial arts.
You buffoon. Salt.
I love it. Okay. And this one's my personal favorite. It's a little long, so bear with me. This one is from Terry Pratchett, his Discworld series, I believe. And it's called Deja Fu. It is the character Lutsei's martial art. It is possibly known only by him. This is a quote, by the way, guys, quoting from the article found on annex.fandom.com.
Okay.
It is possibly known only by him and is apparently powerful enough to defeat the Avatar of Time, although the Avatar in question refused to use the full brunt of his powers. Using Deja Fu, the character can hit the opponent even before the blows are actually made, thereby catching people off guard, resulting in the subject being left with the feeling that they've been kicked in the head this way before.
What?
Yeah. I read that and I was like, oh, I wish I created this. This is awesome. So there you go. Anyway.
It's such a good pun.
It is, isn't it? Deja Fu. It's so good. I love it. That's just some inspiration to get your juices going.
Okay, I'm glad that you did that because those are wild and just fun.
Exactly. And you can see how it just takes a little tweak to make something new and fresh and fun. All right.
Deja
so
Fu. I now have to see, like, I have to dive in and actually read or watch or whatever this is. I have to find it.
Discworld's an incredible series. I recommend it. If I get the book wrong, I will mention which book it is in the show notes, guys.
Perfect. Okay.
Here we go. So the first thing we have to decide here is, first of all, the appendages of choice. So in a lot of different martial arts, people use their hands, their legs, their feet. But in some martial arts, you use your elbows or your knees or your head. So what is it? What is the appendage of choice?
Okay, so if we're going with this theme of I can take the hit.
Yeah.
Hmm. Are we going for more of a comedic? This seems kind of like a comedic atmosphere.
I mean, if we're going with the theme of dark humor, kind of like we've been introducing so far, yeah, we could put that. How would you insert that theme in there? What are you thinking?
No, okay, okay. If I were to go like totally like off the handle, stupid fun, you know, in Super Smash Brothers, Peach has a counterattack where she pulls out Toad and forces Toad to take the hit.
Oh,
right?
No.
What if, you know, a hit is coming towards him and he just like whips around and like smacks it with his butt?
Actually, you know what I thought you were going to say with that whole theme? I thought it was going to be a partnership martial arts. So it's someone else using him as a shield. That's
no, opposite. He's the shield. And somebody Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
That's why I said, yeah.
Could you imagine if he's just like latched onto somebody's back and then that person just like pulls him around like blocks the
head? Oh, my gosh. What a funky little just style. I'm trying to think, should we go that route? Should we just commit? So it's a martial arts that requires two people.
Okay, okay, okay. So dropping into another martial arts show, right? Yu Yu Hakusho, right?
Yeah.
Classic anime. There was a fighting duo. I believe that they were two brothers. I could be wrong. It's been forever since I've seen it. Where you had the big brute, and then the big brute had like a much smaller man that was like on his back or on his arm that was the sword.
Mm.
Do you remember that? Did you watch the show?
No, I don't, but I can see the image in my mind.
And if I remember correctly, please don't scream at me on the internet. But like
the two Yu Yu Hakusho fans, the diehards are listening right now.
There's more than two of us. How dare could you?
You guys don't talk like that. That's not what we're saying.
No. Don't yell at us for that either, please.
Don't get mad.
Anyways, they're like one of the characters ends up being the weapon that the other character uses, and like there's like a whole synergy going on.
That's kind of cool. I think the reason why I like that so much is because it actually plays into the theme of, you know, his lack of self-worth, because he's literally being used as a shield, right? Mm-hmm. He's being treated like an object, literally to have things thrown at against him. And mm-hmm. I feel
or
like
him
plays
thrown
so
in front of things, which then you can get into this really cool image, right? Of maybe he gets separated from his fighting partner and something is being hurled at the partner and he just takes off at a run so that it hits him instead.
Oh, interesting. In the Wikipedia definition of martial arts, it refers to the term codified system. And codified is, in this sense, meaning bringing something into order. You're taking sets of things and you're defining them and employing mm-hmm. them. And that's how it works in martial arts. It's a very particular set of moves being employed in specific ways and situations. So I like that we're already getting diversity in the field, meaning there are styles where they're right there up against their partner, and there are styles of distance, meaning one is literally using styles of deflection by running towards objects or people and grappling maybe. Could be a style we employ here to bring someone else down to the ground in order to eliminate one person in the fight so that the offense can focus on something else. So it sounds then like the range that we want to define for this is, or so one of the questions I will ask, I apologize. I know the question we're talking about is appendage, but I think what I will answer this question, the range is very short. It's definitely probably a little bit more like judo or jujitsu, where it's right up against the person. So we'll go with that.
But it seems like these are battles that are 2-on-2 potentially.
2-on-2, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be fair, especially since
so it could
they're
be more
in a military
of like a battlefield.
Unit.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say that. Okay. So what's the appendage, Stephen? Tell me what it is.
The back is not an appendage, is it? It can't be his butt, right?
I think the back could work. If it requires a degree of trust, meaning like vocal commands are given, you're always facing the person that you're assigned to defend.
Oh, that would be wild if he doesn't even face the opponent. His job is to solely read his partner, and therefore he is always facing his partner.
And there's verbal and physical cues. So it's like he'll say something.
Oh,
like,
how wild.
You know,
okay.
Like maybe it's a different language. Like it's the the Shaishin, you know, maneuver. He'll say it, and then he's like, okay, grabs his shoulder. He grabs his,
no, I
he
think pushes it has on his way stomach. More punny than that. Remember, his name is Crinkles.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Dark humor. Dark humor. This is the headbreaker move. It's all just like, the sounds like something's getting broken in the mm-hmm. body. We call this appendicitis.
Okay.
Just dark moves. But I like the idea where there's physical and verbal cues. Like mm-hmm. there are times where you get grabbed by the shoulder and one by the hand, and by that grapple, you know he's about to like kick you up and use you to kick the other opponent or to absorb a move. And so you like brace into
or
a ball.
Or just slingshot
and
then, you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting because in the story, she says you read people really well. And this totally plays into his ability
totally
to read
does.
People.
Okay, okay.
Like that's one of those early clues that you don't really pick up on. Until like really everything that he does in this fighting form is to read people. But instead of reading his opponent, you know, he solely focuses on reading his allies.
Oh, you know what? In terms of character development, because what does that require? It requires him to trust another person. Mm-hmm. And at first, I think that would be a turnoff to him. He's like, ah, like, why should I trust this person? He's a jerk. He's annoying. He's this or that. But instead, what he finds out is, and what he doesn't realize, is it requires the other person to trust him. And mm-hmm. so he starts to realize, oh my gosh, this person's trusting me as much as I have to trust him.
And therefore, I have to trust myself.
Yeah. And he finds the self-worth that he's looking for. That's cool. I like that.
I could see then, what if... We get more into the finale, and he seems to be very much on the side of defense. You know, they're doing extremely well. And what if in the finale, his teammate or teammates get knocked out? He's the last one standing. And then suddenly, he has to take all of his training on his ability to read his allies into his ability to read his opponents. And then deflecting their moves back against them.
Oh, wait. Wouldn't it be such a cool scene going off of what you're saying, where mm-hmm. he chooses one opponent and starts reenacting the defensive moves off of that opponent to attack his allies, the allies of his opponent. Does that make sense? So he literally grapples one guy and the guy disarms him, grapples him. And then the other guys are like, the heck is this guy doing? And they go in to attack him. And he uses that opponent as his reflective shield to then attack all of his surrounding enemies. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So I don't want to take
like,
away from what you're
really
saying.
You can really start playing with... No, exactly. You can really start to play then with what he would do when he is the last person on the field. And,
yeah.
You know, the only way that he can drag his allies to safety is to be the victor. He has to be the last man standing.
He has to fight.
Enemies. And if there's, say, two of them, how interesting then would it be if in this final culminating fight, he has to get between those two opponents? He has to be the one in the middle so that he can block one or like redirect one by putting all of his focus on one. And it's funny because he gains the ability then to read the other opponent by reading the person that he's focused on. Because they're
so
trying
cool.
to communicate, but they can't communicate because he's in between them. And so he can start to read their desperation. He can start to read, you know, the crackles of their foundation. And so I think one of the greatest story arcs that we can start to see is how he begins to embrace his name, Crinkles. Mm. And it might be that maybe the person that he builds the greatest bond with in their ability to read each other is the person that gave him the nickname Crinkles that he hated for so long. And now, you know, like that person is the keeping each other alive. And he really just begins to embody Crinkles.
I kind of like that idea. I think what a cool scene, because imagine his this teacher, the mysterious nameless woman, has been teaching him this whole time, because he's said like this is such a useless mm-hmm. style. These guys don't need me here. Why am mm-hmm. I even here? And then she will continually reinforce like this is the hardest, most difficult martial arts that we teach and it's very selective, and it's the most powerful style when done solo. Mm-hmm. But you have to practice.
I don't even know if I would bring that up early. Like, I don't know if I would say, like, it's the most powerful style when done solo.
Yeah, how would you say that subtly? Like, it can be done solo. Or is it even implied, or he just figures it out himself?
I think I would probably say something along the lines of her saying, how would you phrase, this fighting style shows you who you truly are when you're alone.
Oh, that's great. That is so freaking good. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because I see the scene in my head where, boom, his partner is on the ground, collapsed, literally about to faint, maybe from the loss mm-hmm. of blood or head trauma or whatever.
And it's obvious they're not getting up.
They're not getting up. And now they've formed a bond at this point. He actually, mm-hmm. Krinkles cares about his fallen companion. And, you know, this whole time after he's made the discovery, like, he believes in me. This person that I've hated mm-hmm. believes and trusts in me, Krinkles. And, you know, his buddy says, you know, like, you got this, Krinkles, or whatever, something cheesy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then Krinkle goes in, he steps into the middle, gets into his stance. You know, what? Maybe it's mm-hmm. like, we didn't talk about stance. That mm-hmm. is one of the questions, but like, maybe it's like putting his fist to his collarbone, so it's easier for him to be grappled or whatever by his partner. Mm-hmm. And then he stands between the opponents. He focuses mm-hmm. in on the face and boom, the fighting begins and they can't land a finger on him because he decides, I'm worth it. In that mm-hmm. phrase, I didn't have a good phrase, but the phrase of his, the person who once hated him shows and demonstrates, I believe you can do this. And he says, frick it. I can do this. So gets in the middle and he says, you're about to feel the Krinkle. Bring it on.
Something ridiculous.
Something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Wow. I really like this character. Krinkle mm-hmm. sounds like you want him to win. You want him to get out there and fight.
Just that whole realization that now he's not just fighting for himself. He's not just fighting for his colleague, his partner. You know, he's now fighting for himself. I just said that.
He's fighting for himself. No, yeah, no, I think that's good. It's good in so many different ways, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally. He's there for himself.
Can we do one last thing before we wrap up?
Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
Can we name this fighting style?
Oh, shoot. That's one of the steps. We have to name the fighting style. Mm-hmm. That's one of the questions. Okay. Okay. What do we call this, Steven?
Is this the grapple lock?
The grapple for the name?
For the name of the fighting style, the grapple lock style.
I feel like we could do it more in tune with the theme. Maybe it's called, because there's a lot of grappling.
The theme is I can take a hit, right?
I can take a hit. Yeah. So what are words, themes, puns that we can use that represent being the defense, being the punching bag? Dummy style, as in like a practice dummy?
Dummy style is actually kind of cool. I'm not opposed to that.
I kind of like it because it's intentionally hard for him to bear. I want to throw as many rocks as this character as we can because it would just make the victory so much more satisfying. Mm-hmm. Because he's Iron mastered dummy smile. Iron dummy style.
It's a little bit longer. Like it doesn't really flow. Dummy style.
Maybe we just keep it simple. We'll just call it dummy style. That could be the name of the episode.
I would say that this style is so rare that probably no opponent has really seen it on the battlefield. And so when they see dummy style, it's bewildering. So it's like a double entendre that not only is he acting like a fighting dummy, how would it be to be on the field and to see a person that you're fighting against not face you?
I was just thinking, like, you can't read your opponent because they are not looking at you. You can't use eye cues, head cues, nothing there.
Yeah, because they're looking at their own allies, right?
Yeah. How cool would it be?
How about the finals? Dumb face style.
Dumb face style. No face style?
No face, no face.
No face style?
No faces.
That's kind of it.
That's kind of interesting. Like that. I'm still kind of leaning towards dummy style, though. It seems like a good name for an episode.
I kind of like it. I like that, too. I think we're kind of out of time. We should wrap this up. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think it would be cool if one of the final battles is now that he's mastered the style. And the mysterious woman recognizes this, And you find out that this style actually works perfectly when it's reflected against itself. And you discover she is also a master of dummy style. And then she and him go onto the battlefield and they just dominate because they're going off of each other's cues and all these things. They, all the grapples that he's been taught,
they're reflective. Read. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they do all these really cool things. Yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool. So, and then I don't know, romance potentially. You know me. Romance. Yeah,
I know you.
She and him. You know, they go on, they go out, they got to go to the smoothie bar, get some smoothies afterwards. Okay.
Let's go anyway, get a protein shake.
Guys,
Crinkles and the Mysterious Woman.
Crinkle, that could be the name of the book. Crinkles and the Mysterious Woman. What a great title. I'd read that.
Dummy Style of Love.
Ooh. So ridiculous.
Love is a dummy. Oh.
Oh. Love it. Guys, really quick, the questions were the plane of attack, the things you have to define, the appendages of choice, the environment. We didn't get to that, but creating a martial arts based off of like underwater, zero gravity, fighting on top of hot coals, I don't know. The speed, the reach, the range, and of course the first question, which is what is the discipline? As you guys could see, when we defined that, everything else started to fall into place. And we created a story and a fighting style that defined him overcoming his weaknesses.
It was completely based on character development.
Yep, exactly. And that is the why. Why do martial arts? That's why. Because
develop
it will give
as a character.
Power. Yep. It's a powerful tool. Guys, we appreciate you. We can't wait to see what you make. If you're interested in following us, I will put these questions plus a game I made onto our social media. So look out for that.
Can you put the questions into the show notes?
Yes, I will. I'll put the questions into the show notes. Cool. Thank you, Stephen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're looking for us, we're on Twitter. Just look up Creators PB Pod, and on Facebook and other mediums, other websites, by looking up for Creators Playbook. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It was fun. Guys, go make a martial arts style. Just have fun.
Go do something. Go have fun.
Yeah. And we'll catch you next time.
You too. Wait. Don't. Let me. See you guys later.
See you guys.
Bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.
Yeah. No, that's... Come on, brain.
You have a great brain, Robbie. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, well, thank you.
When you die, I really hope they put it on display.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully we torture someone with my brain somewhere out there. you're too good to me.
Just speak the truth. That's all I do.